Welcome to Spark TO. Meet the speakers who are sparking conversation at Spark the Change Toronto. Hello and welcome to Spark the Change. My name is Elizabeth Plouffe and I'm a member of the Spark Change Toronto organizational team. Yay! And see, my guest is already laughing, so that's awesome. So I'm welcoming to across the microphone from all the way in Washington, D.C. is Katie Salpaugh.
Very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And it was so cool because Katie actually found a really cool background that sort of reminds me of Tron.
I do my best.
Thank you for delivering.
Very futuristic.
Well, we did talk about the difference between men and women, although Luke's background was really nice. It was just his office. Yeah. It was clean. So surprise every time. You never know what we're going to get. So welcome. We're talking today about Spark the Change Toronto, which is an event coming up in 3 weeks now in June. Actually, 3 weeks today, Katie, you will have just finished.
That's right.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's coming up so soon.
It's just crazy. I mean, and we start planning this like 7 months before. And I mean, actually, we're already talking about what we're going to do for 2018. So it starts planning in the middle of the existing one.
Right.
We just get those collision of ideas. And we're like, oh, that would work for, you know.
Wow, I'm excited. Fun. 3 weeks is so short, actually.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
That is nuts. So I said before when I welcomed you on before we were talking mommy talk because Katie's having a baby.
I am in November. But it's not stopping me from speaking and going on fun trips and to fun conferences, at least not yet. So
well, see, there will be all the mothers that are going to be there as part of the team going, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you drinking enough water, dear?
So I'll be well taken care of. That's good to know.
Oh, yeah. We're a little nutty that way, but that's another story. So I was stalking you a little bit before we started talking and see that you are part of the Enterprise, I'm going to get the wrong thing here, Enterprise Knowledge Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that you've done consulting. It is. You've been doing this around the world.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. Enterprise Knowledge, we're a small knowledge management and agile consulting firm out of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 20 people, so we're a very boutique firm. We are interested in all sorts of areas. We have clients all over the world. And I've also been fortunate enough not just to live in D.C., which is a somewhat international city, kind of like mm-hmm. Toronto, but I've also spent some time in Belgium and in Poland. And in the Czech Republic. So I've been around and I've had some great fun experiences.
In a positive way, not a party girl way. Just
correct.
And it's funny because a member of our team, Hazel, met her husband in the Netherlands.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's interesting when there's a school of business here in Burlington it's Ron de Groot. Mm-hmm. Right. So Canadian, we just say de Groot.
Right, de Groot.
Yeah, and Hazel and I will be talking, and she, yes!
You have to do that. Especially if you're from the Netherlands, you have to do that kind of guttural noise.
The whole phlegmy thing. And she'll say, well, you're going to, and she'll say it in the Netherlands, whatever. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I don't, and she's Scottish on top of that.
So that's an interesting blend of accents right there.
It is. Oh, she's amazing. Well, you've met her already just through this
call
and the whatever, but 3 weeks you'll be able to put a face to the accent and chitty chat. So it says here, I'm just looking on the Enterprise Knowledge Workshop, and the cool thing, the very first slide that comes up, it says at the intersection of knowledge management and IT, mm-hmm. which is a neat way of doing it. And there's a cool graphic about this. And I think that's a lot of change management is finding that map and getting people in the direction that they need or want to go.
Yeah, and actually that fits in a number of different ways. So I'm interested in the intersection of a couple of different disciplines too. And so we're a very interdisciplinary group. We're those people who really had a hard time picking a major in college because we're interested in everything. and it's like, I found my tribe, right? So people who are really just lifetime learners. And change management is a part of all of that. So there's the intersection of change management and knowledge management. So making sure that people are sharing their knowledge, making sure that people are actually using the KM systems that are created for them. And then there's also the intersection of KM and Agile, the intersection of Agile and change management. It's all there. So all for me, I really like the Agile and the change management part. That's my sort of specialty area.
It's your jam.
Yeah, it's totally my jam.
Very cool. So I'm going to just flip over to the Spark the Change website, and then we're going to kick off because I just want to briefly describe for people what your proposal is. And the cool thing about the speakers call on Friday was that after talking to each other, and I think we had 7 speakers on the call out of the 13.
That's about right.
It was really amazing to watch the engagement between the speakers to go, oh, I like what you're going to do. I might shift my talk a little bit to include this and whatever. So that was awesome. And that's one of the things that Spark is all about, is that there is that shift in perception, or somebody, you know, collides and has a great idea that we can change it a little bit. So what we have,
that's one of the reasons why I was really excited to come and speak at Spark, because it seemed like such a creative group of people. And seriously, that you don't always hear there's going to be drumming or dancing or the sort of stuff that isn't usually part and parcel of a conference. And so for me, it's a challenge on one hand, because I want to be creative too. And on the other hand, it's a lot of freedom that I can try something different and just do whatever I feel. I don't feel like I have to be super formal. So
we're not excited. We're not super formal kind of.
I've noticed this. Yes.
The one thing I am going to miss this year, the last 2 years we've held Spark at the Science Center, and we did the nitrogen ice cream for 2 years the mad scientist comes in, brings the nitrogen, brings cream, sugar, and vanilla. Mm-hmm. And it's on the video that we have on the website, and literally pours the nitrogen into the ingredients and hands out ice cream to everybody. And that's everybody great. Just goes nuts over it because it's so cool. So we're trying to work with Aram to sort of see if there's something dinosaur-y or whatever that we can do. Well, we'll have to see.
I hear it's beautiful.
The ROM?
Yeah.
I tell ya. I mean, I will be full disclosure. The ROM is a gorgeous building, and I'm not sure of the origin. I mean, it's early 1900s. And then in an act of philanthropy and, I guess, modernization, they added the Michael Lee Chin glass something or other that comes off. It drives me banana pants. Anyway, but inside where we are going to be in Bronfman Hall, we actually look over the gold rotunda. Nice. So it's this internal area, and Michael Petty, who is the senior event coordinator for the ROM. Actually, he might be the only, I don't know. I don't want to missay, but he's the very nice gentleman that I've been dealing with, was explaining to us that this rotunda is coated in thousands of hand-placed gold mosaic tile. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
And you come out of the room, the Bronfman Hall that we're going to be in, and you can walk across and go into sort of the gemology and study of minerals, and gorgeous space where you have these huge examples of alexandrite and all kinds of things. But then you can turn right and go up the steps and walk into a giant rhinoceros, and then you can turn the other way. Like, it's, you know, there's Buddhas
just
and
like
mummies.
Just like that at the museum, right?
It better not be. You know, that's fun
probably
and all,
not.
But those monkeys need to stay in there. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
So what we have for Katie on our Spark website is the Agile Change Mashup. We're going to have to do some interesting music for you, I think.
Yeah, and I have some music as part of my presentation too, so I'll have to make sure we're not doing the same stuff.
Or you could just send us that and we'll use
it. I could also just do that.
So the Agile and Change Management communities are often at odds, but they can combine to make beautiful music together. In this talk, I'll share my personal journey transitioning from the change management to the Agile world and what I learned along the way. The outcome of this session will be promoting empathy across both disciplines by outlining concrete ways they can complement each other. For example, adopting the Agile mindset can help change practitioners. Can help change practitioners.
Change practitioners.
I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
That's right.
Adopting the Agile mindset can help change practitioners create better feedback loops, while change management techniques can help Agilists communicate more effectively. So that actually ties in nicely to the theme that happened at the speaker's call that we touched upon earlier, where I really liked how you led into your piece when people were talking about, you know, disruption and whatever, which is part of what Spark's about. And you led off by saying, I'm going to focus on harmony, which was right. really cool, and continuing the musical metaphor. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I was thinking about this later because, you know, I think both communities, in a sense, are feeling some disruption already, and they're looking for a way to overcome that. So change management community, they're starting to be asked to work on Agile projects, and they have no idea what that entails or how to do it. They feel mm-hmm. overwhelmed by the jargon and the various, you know, they're not technical people for the most part, right? And they feel a lot of times that that's a difficult barrier to overcome. And on the Agile side of things, I've seen many organizations be successful at the team level, where you get, you know, one or two development teams rolling really well in Agile software development. And then it's so successful that now the Agile coaches are being told, hey, let's do this for the whole organization. And they don't have any change management background to be able to do that.
Yeah.
They're leading a, you know, department-wide or organization-wide change. And they don't necessarily have the background to do it. Many of them have the skills and the knack for it.
Yeah.
But what they don't
have
the
toolbox.
They don't have the toolbox or the community behind them. And so having just randomly stumbled a few years ago into the Agile world, I was a change management communications person before, mm-hmm. I was able to make this connection and say, well, wait a minute, why is this not the same thing? So I've started to see the worlds collide a little bit, which is a very good sign, but I think they can collide faster. Yeah.
Yes. Collaborate versus collide. We want to stick with the harmony thing.
Right. Collide in a positive way.
Positive collision. I like that.
Yes.
Kind of like peanut butter and jelly.
Exactly. So this is the mashup, right? Because a mashup to me is where you take two very different pieces of music and you put them together and it makes something unexpected, interesting that works. And somehow you don't think it's going to work when you yeah. start off, but it does. And there's harmony between those two areas. So
and sometimes it can be like that, just one missing ingredient that you come to a conference or you run into somebody and have a conversation yeah. and all of a sudden that missing piece lets everything fall into place. Mm-hmm. And where you saw disparate pieces before, now you see that connection and that
exactly.
opportunity to collaborate versus continuing to collide, which we all know doesn't necessarily have the best outcome sometimes.
Right. And so what I've been starting to do is invite people from each community to the events of the other community. And when I see that happen, like I invited a friend to the Business Agility Conference back in February in New York, mm-hmm. and she was a change management practitioner. And it was just like, you saw like the light bulb go off. And I'm like, this is what I've been saying. It's so validating.
Which is very cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's great at an incremental level. But what I'd really like to do is to, on a more macro level, so through speaking events like this or other types of involvement in the community, help build really bigger bridges, not just a one life raft at a time. Because I think that's going to help a lot of people, because the yeah. challenges, it's complementary. That's what I've been seeing.
So a safe Titanic is what we're saying.
Yes.
Iceberg.
I keep accidentally bringing in metaphors of destruction.
Maybe that's just your secret thing that you just
yeah, don't maybe. So yeah, so the musical metaphor is something that I thought would be it would be appropriate for the creativity that I've seen with Spark, but also a way to think, this isn't scary, this is fun. We can build something together that really has a unique energy yeah. to it. And so I have some examples. Okay, what makes a good mashup? How can we apply that to mm-hmm. actually bringing the communities together? Because it's not going to happen overnight, right? It's going to be a gradual thing. And they all have their own
like
cultures.
Anything worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's good that we're having a giant Lego serious play activity thing so that we can continue the building metaphor as well.
Yeah, that's one of the tools and techniques I've seen take hold in both communities. So things are getting diffused naturally anyway, right?
Which is good. That's sort of an osmotic process that mm-hmm. allows the integration, and you don't have this concentration in one area, and people
right.
understand that they can then actually get bigger mm-hmm. if they just, you know, osmotically allow that to happen, which is very cool.
Right. And it opens people's minds. You think, I have this technique from my life as an Agile coach. Why can't I try to apply it in these other circumstances? Or mm-hmm. maybe why not? Right. It's a mind opening experience. That's what mm-hmm. I would like it to be.
It was sort of like what we were talking. So before Katie and I started the Spark conversation, we were talking about impending mommyhood and and the things that people can share with you, and sometimes the perceptions that you end up adopting because you think that's what you should do, and how deciding somebody, I think it was my husband actually, said to me when our son was very young, because everybody was telling me different things and he had a couple of health issues. And as a new parent, you're so overwhelmed. And of course, you've never done this before. And from me to you, that whole instruction book that's supposed to come with him has never shown up. And he's 19, so I'm still waiting. And he looked at me and he said, nobody knows our baby better than you do. Mm-hmm. And that gave me a real sense of confidence to sort of start to sort of eschew the normal ways of doing things and do what worked well for our kid. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that Spark wants to really do is say, look, you don't have to do it this way because everybody else is. If you see an opportunity for a positive change using tools from wherever you can get them, be brave, stand up, spark some change, mm-hmm. and give it a try. And that was one of the things in Jason's book where he talks about, you know, labeling things as experiments.
Yes. So
there's not that attachment to permanency and huge metrics. It's an experiment where I believe that this is going to work based on these philosophies and these previous successes. And let's apply it for a 1 month experiment in your organization mm-hmm. and see what happens. And I think that that word alone allows people the freedom to go, okay, yeah, you know what? Let's give this a try mm-hmm. and let's apply it. And if it doesn't work necessarily in that particular iteration, at least you have lessons learned out of that to go, okay, maybe to try this again, we need to incorporate this new tool. Because in that month, everybody on the team has continued to learn, engage, talk to other people. And you get, like you said, your friend that came to the conference, somebody brings that one missing piece mm-hmm. 3 weeks into the experiment that you're like, oh, that's what's going to make it really grow and be broadly applicable.
Right. And, really and that's, cool. This is what I love so much about the Agile community is this focus on experiential learning, because mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is something that anyone who's worked in as a consultant or any other type of client work, you may know that one tool set is going to work with one client is not going to work with the other, because a lot of these things are context specific. And so you can, you know, share as much information as possible. And this is the same thing with parenthood. I'm trying not to get overwhelmed with that, but not, you know, it's going to be about trying, seeing what works. And I think the important thing is if something's not working, stop.
Exactly.
Not because you think it should work and you think, oh, I'm doing it wrong, I'm implementing it wrong. Well, maybe it's not working and I just need to try something else. And so the faster that you as an individual or as an organization can pull back and course correct, the better off
Iterate.
You are.
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons why many people say that Agile saves money, because you're not continuously investing in things that are not going well. It doesn't always save money, because maybe you just take that money and bring more value to your customers. Right? That's okay too.
But, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's the idea, right?
Yeah. So we're just going to, so we've talked about your talk, which is awesome. And how did you come to get involved with Spark? Just because we've only got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah. So Jason actually found me. I was on another podcast. This is a proof positive that content marketing does work. no, I was
Thanks
at the conference was the Business Agility Conference I mentioned before back in February in New York. And I did a podcast with Agile Amped. And I was talking about this, this agile and change intersection. So I was talking about how to handle reorganization as part of an agile transformation. So different subject matter.
Okay.
But Jason saw the video and just reached out to me.
Was this from February? This is the one I have with Heather Stahl.
Nope. That was a different one.
Well, look at you all over the place. At the
I know.
I don't feel so special right now. I have to tell you.
I love me some podcasts.
That's good.
Yeah, so Jason found me, and I think that there's a lot of interest now in the intersection of those two communities, and so he thought I would be an interesting addition, and I'm very excited.
You are.
Yeah.
So here's the cool thing just about Spark. We're gonna pull it back to Spark for a second.
Sure.
Because we don't accept just anybody, which sounds so snotty, but for the attendees, it's really important to us that we get a very high caliber of speaker that's going to come in and provide value and not do like a 20-minute commercial and you know, push their product and whatever. And we've been extremely fortunate through our process and just through everybody's network being attached to such high caliber people to get an amazing roster of speakers every year. So for our attendees, it's really important that they know that we vet the speakers, that people apply a lot to come and be a speaker with us. And the team is so skilled. I mean, I'm very peripheral in that decision making, because from a risk perspective and from a communications perspective, I can evaluate, but I don't engage in the agile and change community at the same level that the rest of the team does. I don't have that background. So I bring a little bit of a different filter, but they, for the most part, go through and evaluate what somebody wants to speak about and whether it fits into the themes that we offer each year. So we really try our best. We've got an amazing lineup, and we're very fortunate to have Katie joining us. And if you are interested, after listening to the wise words of Katie Salpaugh, which, by the way, was not her true original first name or last name. Salpaugh?
Salpaugh.
Salpaugh. I can't
from
say
from Austria.
As well
Salzburg.
As Salzburg. Woo! That's from where Mozart is from.
That's right.
That's on my bucket list. Mozart's my jam. I would just... I could go and, oh, anyway.
So maybe you should play some Mozart at Spark.
We are going to have live music.
There we go.
I'm not sure that Mozart's on the agenda. I don't know that that's exactly the mood that we're looking for.
maybe during breakfast. I always like when I have classical music during breakfast. Makes you feel so classy.
Ooh, and it would fit with the venue.
There we go.
Mozart might be coming to the room.
You're welcome or sorry. What's that? I said, you're welcome or sorry.
Mozart, you can never go wrong, I'm afraid. Okay. Like, there's nothing bad that he's ever... I'm going to fangirl. It's okay. So if you're interested in learning more, not only about Katie and our other speakers, you can visit sparkthechange.ca, 2017, sparkthechange.ca. It's got all the information there about the location, pricing, all that good stuff. We are offering a Kubi option this year for remote attendance. We're working with Revolver Robotics and Marcus Rosenthal to bring that to fruition. And coming up this week, I'm actually going to be interviewing our first Kubi person, but I'm going to keep those details under wraps because it'll be a surprise. It's currently $5.99 for the 2 days. That's 2 full days at the ROM, meals, speakers, cool stuff that Nick and Rich are doing, and a disruptive dissonant circle and Lego play and all kinds of amazing things. So I hope you'll check it out. We are at, what are we at? You share your contact information, Katie, because I need to confirm ours.
Sure. So, so bad. I'm pretty active on Twitter, so that's a good way to reach out to me. It's at Katie Southpaw.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Like left-handed have the... person, because no one can spell my last name. So this is easier.
That's fair.
I'm also on LinkedIn. You can find me there too.
LinkedIn. And then you also have a profile on enterprise knowledge.
I do. If you want to read my blog posts, I have many. You can find those at enterpriseknowledge.com.
So we are at SparkConf. I'm pulling back because I just want to make sure that I have the right thing. At SparkConf, C-O-N-F-T-O. Ton of stuff going out on Twitter about our speakers and the stuff coming up and pricing and all the rest of it. So you can give us a follow there. Or again, go hit us up at our website, which has got everything you need to know. Thank you so much, Katie, all the way from
Thanks.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm really excited. It's only 3 weeks away.
3 weeks
away. Countdown.
Final countdown. It goes from months and months, and then all of a sudden you're like...
So no panic mode yet?
No.
That's good.
And I pause to say that because, of course, the first year, it was crazy because it was our first year. But it went so well that we were like, we kind of know what we're doing. And the second year, we learned more lessons and listened to the feedback of our attendees and all that good stuff and made some changes. And I am fortunate to work with an incredible team of people who are all equally crazy, all equally dedicated, all equally amazing, that no matter what, I honestly believe, I get so excited when I think about this event. And there are other events that I, full disclosure, I'm crapping my pants. This isn't one of them. And I've organized a ton of different events, but this team pulls together in such a way that even if something is going wrong underneath, no attendee ever knows that that's happening. Mm-hmm. Right? We are constantly each other's back and checking in and making sure that everybody has what they need to succeed. And that doesn't happen very often. Like, we have seven members on the team. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting anybody. I'm really sorry. And everybody just takes their dedication to the event very seriously. But
it sounds
at the
same
time,
you guys are having fun doing it, right?
This we
is
do.
What I've noticed. So that's the
yeah, I really believe we do. Yeah. And, you know, like, right now we have an issue with the ROM, not their issue, but in the room that we're going to be in, there's a $4 million piece of slate on the wall in the room. Yeah. Wow. I'm like, nobody touch it. So we're, you know, we're thinking of, like, Jason and I are fully on board with having, like, a giant Iron Man cutout in front of it going,
yeah, you know, like, stop.
No touchy. And, like, anybody can throw out a crazy suggestion and we all think of, okay, can we actually make that happen?
You know, why not?
Why not? I have to tell you, most clients in that case, no, that's a little too different. You know, like, who has a conference at the ROM? Who has a conference at the Science Center?
Yeah, like,
and people showed up and it was amazing. And they were all like, we never would have thought of coming here. Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to come back, right?
That's the goal. That's the goal. And we're extremely excited to be working with the ROM on this and thrilled with the area. I think everybody's just going to have a hoot. And, you know, if you need a brain break, you can go and talk to the rhinoceroses. Go visit the dinosaur in the, in the front lobby. I'll be happy to chat to you, meditate with you, whatever you need. Namaste.
Nice. So when I'm doing the speaker prep, that's where I'll go. Just me and the dinosaurs.
Just you and the dinosaur. Well, we are creating a ROM T-Rex that will come out and eat you if you go too far into the ROM in the middle of the conference, because you will get lost. You will not find your way back. And then we have to go searching for you and we will not be happy. So right. Yes, the ROM T-Rex is real. We will sick it on you.
Is it a Kubi with, like, a dinosaur hat on it?
No, it's probably just me running after you like an lunatic. Please come back. It's probably just me.
Okay.
I'll just do this. No, don't do it. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll see what we'll see.
It should be fun either way.
Always fun at Spark. So thank you so much. We're going over our thing, but it was fun. So
yeah, definitely.
But again, check us out. Check out Katie Southpaw on Twitter. She's very active because I saw on your website. She's got amazing blogs, a ton of stuff on SlideShare if you want to learn more about her through LinkedIn. And you can visit us on Twitter and Facebook and all over the place for Spark. And I hope we'll see you I know I'm going to see you in 3 weeks and we'll be high-fiving at this point going, way done. Yay, break time. So thank you so much, Katie, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Thanks for listening, and please visit us at sparkthechangetoronto.ca to learn more, or you can follow us on Twitter @SparkConfto.